Translation required, or everybody can understand English, but that you have to ask in Kannada.
Kannada, you have to ask. Kannada, anuvada. Dekha kata. Everybody understands English?
Those.
Sabko English samajh mein aati hai. Okay? So, Kannada translation is not required. Right? Otherwise, we will make arrangement. One mother is there. He wants Kannada translation. Anyway, so we will have the class in English. If we find more devotees like that who cannot understand, we keep them together and then the translation will be done. We have facilities for Kannada, Tamil and Hindi. These three languages it can be translated in. So, if you want anything like that, please get back to us. Hare Krishna.
Someone can leave Jairada Madhava, my voice is...
Yeah.
श्री गांधर्विका गिरिधारी गौर हरि की जय। श्री नरसिंह देव भगवान की जय। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा।
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. How many of you were not there in the morning lecture today? Ayoyo. Sorry, big group. Okay. So then I cannot speak in continuation from the morning. I will speak something general about the Lord Narasingadev. Why did you not come in the morning? Today is Narasimha Chaturdashi. So you should have come to greet the Lord on His appearance day. Hare Krishna. So today is the holy appearance day of Lord Narasimha Dev. The Lord appears by His own sweet will in different places at different times to fulfill His own divine purposes. Nobody can dictate to the Lord where He should appear, when He should appear, when He should not, why He should appear. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always completely free to do whatever He likes. This is the meaning of being God. Can we all do whatever we like? We have so many desires, but it is not possible for us to fulfill all of them. We are obstructed from the fulfillment of our desires by many, many obstacles that come in the way. Even our birth, we are forced to take birth. When we died in the previous life, We did not choose our parents in the next life, in this life. We all had a previous life. You all accept that? Anyone doesn't agree with that? Anyone who disagrees, please raise your hand. Okay, so everyone agrees that we had a previous life. And did you have a life previous to that? Yes. And a life previous to that? Yes. So when we died in our previous life, sorry if it sounds a little harsh, but it's a fact. We died, isn't it, in the previous life? So at that time, did we choose? Last time, last life, when we were about to die, did we choose that I'm going to be born in Bengaluru and I will then come here and attend programs in Lakshmi Narasimha Mandir? By the laws of nature, we were compelled to take birth from a certain father, certain mother. We were born in a certain family, certain surroundings, at a certain time, with a certain type of body. We did not willingly or voluntarily choose the body that we have at this time. It was forced upon us by the laws of nature, and specifically by the law of karma. According to the kind of karma that we performed in the previous life, we have got a situation in the current life. So we are under the influence of the laws of material nature. Nobody can escape the laws of nature. However powerful he may be, however wealthy he may be, however intelligent he may be, we all are subject to the laws of nature. But Krishna, he is not subject to the laws of nature. He takes birth, or he appears out of his own sweet will. He can decide who will be his parents next time. We cannot decide that. And sometimes he decides he doesn't want a parent. Did Narasimhadev have any parents? Krishna, when he came in Mathura, he had Devaki and Vasudev as parents. Then in Vrindavan, he chose Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj as his parents. As Vamanadev, he chose Aditi and Kashyapa as his parents. As Lord Ramachandra, he chose Dasharath Maharaj and who? Kausalya Devi as his parents. So in most of these incarnations, he may choose some parents, and sometimes he may choose not to have parents. Can you give any example of those appearances of the Lord where he chose to have no parents, or at least there is no information? Matsya avatar, no parents, none. Then who else? Varaha avatar, he just appeared. Actually, as Varaha avatar, he had a father. Who was his father? Brahma. Because the Lord appeared from the nostril of Brahma. So Brahma became the father of Varahadev. Narasimhadev, did he have a father or a mother? No. Where did he appear from? Pillar. So the Lord may appear as he chooses. We cannot do that. Because he is always the Supreme Lord. He is always the Supreme Controller. There is never a time, never a situation where Lord Krishna or his different avatars are not God. There is never a time where they are not completely independent or completely powerful. This is the meaning of being God. If God is obliged or forced by the laws of nature to do something against his will, then how can he be God? So this is the point that most people do not understand what it means to be God. And therefore they criticize God for so many things. Therefore one of the most important points made in the Bhagavad Gita is Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvatah Tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mameti so Arjuna. Lord Krishna says, O Arjuna, one who understands the divine nature of my birth and of my activities, in truth, tattvataha, does not have to take birth again in this material world. Rather, he will come back to my abode, the spiritual abode, the Vaikuntha world. So therefore, knowing the divine nature of Lord Krishna's appearance and activities is very important for our own well-being, for our own welfare, and for achieving the goal of life. Therefore, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna's appearance in Mathura and his further pastimes in Vrindavan and other places, we are actually ensuring that we do not have a future birth in this material world. We are ensuring that we will take birth in the spiritual world and be in the company of Lord Krishna forever after that. So Lord Krishna then descends, Ajopi sannavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakriti swamadhishthaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. Krishna says that I descend in this world by my own internal energy, and I descend in the same body as I have in the spiritual world. Lord Krishna doesn't change his body when he appears here. Some people think that Lord Krishna has a material body when he comes here, but that is not a fact. In the spiritual world, he has a spiritual body, and when he descends to this material world, also he has a spiritual body. Lord Krishna or his incarnations never have any material body like ours. So all the incarnations of the Lord are also exactly like that. Lord Matsya, Lord Varaha, Lord Narasimha, all their bodies are completely spiritual, Satchidananda. And even though they may appear in different species of life, they remain the Supreme Lord. Queen Kunti, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, prays in the Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Krishna, Janma Karma Cha Vishvatman Ajasya Karturatmanah Tiryak Nrishishuyadhasu Tad Atyanta Vidambanam. She says, my dear Krishna, your activities and appearance in this world are truly very bewildering, very puzzling. Nobody can understand the true nature of your appearance and activities here in this world. Very hard. Why is that? Because basically, you don't have any need to perform activities, and you are without birth, you are ajanma, aja. You are eternally existing, you are never born, but still when you come to this world, you are born. There is no need for you to perform any activities, but nevertheless, when you descend into this world, you perform so many pastimes and activities. So janma karma cha vishvatman, O soul of the universe, you are born and you perform activities, even though you are unborn and you don't need to perform activities. And not only that, where are you born? You are born in different species of life. Tiryak, sometimes in animal species. Can you give any example of the Lord being born in the animal species? Varahadev, correct. What about bird species? Has the Lord appeared in the bird species any time? Hansa avatar. Hansa, he appeared as a swan, Hamsa. Then Nri, in the human species, has he appeared in the human society? Ram. What about Krishna? Yes, Ram, Krishna. Then what about the society of sages? Parashuram, Kapiladev,
So there's so many avatars of the Lord. Tiryak Nrishishu. Nri means humans, Rishi means the sages. Yadahasu means the aquatics. Those living beings who live in the water. Any example? Matsya avatar. So my dear Krishna, it is truly bewildering. Tad atyanta vidambanam. Vidambanam means very bewildering. Atyanta means very much. So it is truly bewildering that you who are never born becomes born here. You who have no need to act, you act in so many wonderful and miraculous ways. All in all, Krishna is the most bewildering personality of all. So he appears, that one Krishna appears in numerous forms. He can expand himself unlimitedly to become many Krishnas. Can you give any example of how one Krishna became many Krishnas? Huh? Past time when he bewildered Lord Brahma, correct? Where else? In Dwaraka, he married 16,108 queens and expanded himself to be with each of the queens at the same time. Then where else did he expand himself? While doing the Rasa Leela. So each gopi felt that Krishna is only with me. And there were so many gopis, many, many gopis. So Krishna expands himself into many Krishnas. Sometimes he expands himself into many Vishnus, as he did for Brahma, and as he does in the material world by expanding himself as Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, as the Paramatma in everybody's heart. So Krishna expands himself unlimitedly as Krishna. And he also expands himself in different forms. Sometimes as Vamana Dev, sometimes as Varaha Dev, sometimes as Matsya Dev, sometimes Narasimha Dev. So is there a difference between Narasimha and Krishna? There is absolutely no difference. How many of you feel that there is absolutely no difference between Krishna and Narasimha Dev? Raise your hand. Now, all of you have to raise your hand one time at least, okay? And not two times. One time minimum and maximum. So how many of you feel there is no difference absolutely between Narasimha Dev and Krishna? Raise your hand. Those who don't raise will not get prasadam. Okay. How many of you feel that there is difference between Narasimha Dev and Lord Krishna? Okay. How many of you have not raised your hand so far? Raise your hand now. Okay. Why have you not raised your hand? Because you are still fasting. Yes. Hansavatar. Yes, he's Hansavatar. Name, yes. Okay, so Lord Narasimha Dev is simultaneously same and different from Krishna. Devotees are very intelligent, so they know how to give right answers. So this is the perfect answer. Narasimha Dev is the same as Krishna, and at the same time he is different from Krishna. He is one, but avatars are many. So the question was, is Narasimha Dev same as Krishna or different from Krishna? Yeah, we just answered the question. That he is simultaneously same and different. First, tell me, why is he different? He looks different. Very obvious answer. Have you ever seen picture of Narasimha Dev playing the flute? Have you ever seen picture of Narasimha Dev grazing the cows? Have you seen picture of any of Krishna of Narsingadev's devotees climbing on his shoulder and stealing his tiffin box? Can you imagine such a thing? So Narsingadev has obvious differences with Krishna. He looks different, he acts different, he speaks differently, he roars like a lion because he's half a body is a lion. At the same time, his mood is also different. His devotees relate to him in a one kind of way, but in Vrindavan, Krishna's devotees relate to him in another kind of way. So all of you try to do some homework today. Nobody to test you, but only do it for your own benefit. Write down all the differences between Narsingadev and Krishna. The form is different, that is, they look different. Yes? Name is different. The leelas are different. Then their devotees' mood towards them, towards the Lord, is different. Now, you also identify in what way Krishna, Narsingadev, is same as Krishna. So we have identified all the different ways in which Narsingadev is different from Krishna. Now, what are the reasons why you can say that Narsingadev is same as Krishna? Yes. Protecting devotees, okay. He is Bhakta Vatsala, very affectionate to his devotees. All right. What else? Both are independent. All right. Tattva is same. What does it mean? Okay, so both are God. Both are God. Both are God. So then many times people ask, your religion is so confusing. So many gods you have. Yes? So many times they accuse us of having many gods. But their understanding is wrong. First and foremost, when it comes to many gods, they think of the demigods as being God. Like, for example, Chandra, Indra, Varuna, Brahma, Shiva, Durga. They think that they are God. But from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand that they are not God with a capital G. They are God with a small g, which means they are demigods. They are not full God. They are personalities who are empowered by the Supreme Lord Krishna to perform certain activities. They represent Krishna and do take care of many responsibilities on behalf of Krishna. So the first reason why we say that we don't believe in many gods is, we tell them, look, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the others, these are demigods. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Shiva, Brahma, Durga, Ganesh. They are not the Supreme Lord. So that one point is clarified. But then they say that, all right, we will not talk about the demigods, but we will talk about gods Ram, Narasimha, Vamana, Matsya, Varaha. So you say Krishna is one, but you have so many gods here also. So even if you don't consider demigods, there are so many gods with capital G. Is Matsya capital G God? Yes. Varaha, God with capital G? Yes. Narasimha, capital. So there are so many gods then. How will you answer? If somebody, your friend meets you, you people worship many gods. What will you answer? They're simultaneously one and different means new person won't understand. What is the meaning of simultaneously one and different? This is just juggling with words, they will say. Okay, very nice example. Example of the office and the home.
and various places, you can say that actually we believe only in one God. We believe in Krishna. But that one Krishna, he expands himself into numerous forms like Narasimha, etc. The same Krishna has expanded as Narasimha, Ram, etc. to fulfill different purposes. Because he wants to perform a variety of pastimes. He wants to be in variety of moods. He wants to fulfill the desires of numerous devotees who want to worship him in very specific ways. He assumes different forms according to the mentality and meditation of different devotees. Because the devotees aspire to worship the Lord in different forms according to their meditation, therefore the Lord very kindly assumes these different forms. So he's the same Krishna, but he appears in these different forms for all these reasons. And then when he expands himself, he still remains the same Krishna. So this example of the person in the home and the office is very important, and all of you can try to understand this example so that your understanding will become very clear. And also when your friends and relatives start arguing with you, then you can give them this very simple example. Let us say there is a high court judge. Now he lives in his house and he has his family members. His son lives with him and son has child. So the high court judge is a grandfather also. He is a father also. He is a husband of somebody. He is a friend of somebody. Maybe his very elderly mother also lives with him. So he is somebody's son. When he goes to the court, he wears a certain kind of dress. His behavior is very different from that in the house. When he's sitting in the courtroom, order, then his whole appearance is different. He's very stern, very serious. His language is also very formal. Sometimes he will scold the lawyer. Sometimes he will give a lot of punishment to some person, the accused person. Sometimes he will release somebody. And when he comes there, everybody stands up to give him respect. Good morning, sir, your honor, your my lord. They address him by such words. So he comes there with special dress, special behavior, special activities. When the same high court judge is in the house, does he sit with his high court robes and his wig? No. In his house, he is dressed in very simple, informal clothing. Number one. So the appearance is different. So is he a different person because the appearance is different? Same person or different person? Same person. But he is wearing different clothes, no? So no problem. He is wearing different clothes, but that doesn't make him a different person. Same person, but different clothes. Next. When he comes into the house, his grandson, will you call him, good morning, sir? What will the grandson do? He will climb on his shoulder and pull his ears and say, I want to ride on your shoulders. Then what will the high court judge do? He will go on his hands and knees. His grandson will climb on his back and catch him by the collar and say, go fast, faster, move fast. And the high court judge, will he say, I sentence you to 10 years in jail? Will he say that? He will happily move on his hands and knees. Can he do the same thing in the court? What if any lawyer tries to sit on his head? Immediately he will be sent to jail. Same person, just remember this. He's the same person, but at home, his behavior is different. Then how is he addressed in the court? Your honor, your lord, my lord. At home, his elderly mother will call him by his first name. His son will call him as father. So There are so many different names. He may have a childhood friend who comes to visit him. He will call him by his first name. So he is called differently. His dress is different. He is called by different names. His behavior is different. The people who are with him, they deal with him differently at home. So in this way, you can see that the same high court judge acts in one way in the court, looks different in the court than he does in the house. Similarly, when he goes to some social function, some marriage function, he will be dressed differently. So even though the same person appears differently, he acts differently, other people relate to him differently, but he's the same person. Similarly, the same person, Krishna, he is like the high court judge in the house, where he is most informal, most relaxed. Just as a person is most relaxed in the house. In business, when he is in the office, he is very formal. But in the house, very relaxed. He can dress any way he likes. He can lie, put his feet up. But in the courtroom, the high court judge cannot put his feet up like that. So Krishna is like the high court judge in the house. And then he has so many of his avatars who are all like the same person in the house who goes to different places. Somebody in the court, somebody in the office, somebody in the marriage function, somebody in the cricket match. Yes? So the same person wears different clothes when he does different things. So Krishna's different avatars, what are they? Same Krishna has expanded himself, wears different clothes, so to speak, acts differently, so to speak, has different purposes to fulfill. Therefore, he assumes his different forms. However, there are some differences in this example that I have given. Number one, when the high court judge is in the court, he cannot be at home at the same time. But Krishna, when he is at home in Vrindavan, he can be here in the material world simultaneously. He can be Narasingadev saving Prahlad, and still he is in Goloka Vrindavan at the same time playing his flute. And Narasingadev is here on the earth saving his dear devotee Prahlad. So Krishna can be everywhere at the same time. The human being cannot do that. Therefore, Krishna at home, Krishna in the office, Krishna here, Krishna there, Krishna everywhere going on simultaneously. Whereas a high court judge can be in only one place at one time. Second difference is, of course, that Krishna is supremely independent and all-powerful. Whereas the high court judge also is not all-powerful. Even in the house, he is not powerful. If he tries to give any sentence in the house, will anybody listen to him? No. In the court, everybody will listen, but at home, nobody will listen. So similarly, when Krishna is at home in Vrindavan, nobody listens to him. There he is a cowherd boy. Nobody calls him God in Vrindavan. And he likes it like that. So just as the high court judge, his grandson will climb on his shoulder and so on and play with him. So similarly, supreme personality of Godhead Krishna, when he is in Vrindavan, he will play the role of a cowherd boy. His friends will climb on his shoulder, his friends will steal his tiffin box, his friends will tease him. They will have wrestling competition. Sometimes Krishna will lose also. And Krishna has to be punished because he has lost the match. Sometimes his friends will threaten him that if you go home now, then we will never take you for playing again. And out of fear, Krishna says, all right, I will stay here and play with you. So this is the beauty of Krishna in Vrindavan. Whereas when he comes as Lord Ram, then he's exhibiting ideal human being, how an ideal son should be, how an ideal husband should be, ideal father should be, ideal king should be, he exhibits all these things. Similarly as Lord Narasimhadev. What is the purpose for the Lord coming as Narasimhadev? To protect his devotee. So Narasimhadev's advent is especially for the sake of exhibiting anger at those who harm his devotees. Can Krishna, as Krishna, not get angry? Of course he can get. But when he gets really, really angry, in a way that we cannot imagine, then he takes the form of Narasimhadev. And he shows to the whole world what real anger can be. Unlimited anger. And then he directs that anger against those who are harming his devotees. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada asked the devotees in ISKCON to start worshipping Narasimhadev every day, because in the early years of the movement, there were many threats against the temples and the devotees. Different people used to come, and people didn't understand that these were genuine devotees. They would come and beat them up. They would sometimes arrest them, sometimes catch them and send them to psychiatric hospitals. Sometimes they would criticize them very badly. That sometimes the temples would be broken down. So many difficulties they had to face in the early days. So Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees, now every day we should chant prayers to Lord Narasimhadev for protection. So then can Krishna not do it? Yes, but Narasimhadev is Krishna. No difference. He is the same Krishna who has appeared as Narasimhadev to protect his devotees. So no problem in praying to Narasimhadev. Only his form is different. And the kind of anger that Narasimhadev shows, when Krishna wants to exhibit anger, then he will take the form of Narasimhadev. Why do we get angry sometimes? Why do we have the nature to become angry? Desires are not fulfilled, yes, but fundamentally we get angry because Krishna also gets angry. Now, I have to put some word of caution here. Now, next time you get angry and fight with your family members, don't quote me and say that it was said in the lecture that we get angry because Krishna gets angry. So don't blame me, you blame Krishna. No. We get angry, it is usually for the wrong reasons. And Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So he can get angry any amount he likes. And by his anger, we will all be benefited. So when Krishna wants to taste all emotions, he assumes different forms. Krishna likes to swim also. You like to swim? So Krishna also likes to swim. So he'll say, I will be Matsya Avatar and I will swim. You like to fly? Krishna says, I will become Hamsa Avatar and I will fly. So he assumes all these different forms. So when he wants to experience anger that is so unlimited and so powerful, and he wants to use that anger to protect his devotees, then he becomes Narasimhadev. But even in that anger, there is love, there is kindness, there is softness. The great commentator Sridhar Swami has said that just as a lioness is very fierce to everyone else, but to her own cub, her own baby lion, she is very protective. But to anyone except the cub, the lioness is very, very fierce. Everybody is afraid to come near the lioness. Similarly, Lord Narasimhadev is fearful and he is a terror to all those who are not his devotees. But to his devotees, he is Bhakta Vatsala. He is always there to protect his devotees, to give them complete shelter, to give them all affection. Anger is for those who are not his devotees and who harm his devotees. So when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narasingadev, he was so angry that anger was just not subsiding. It was just boiling and boiling and boiling, and he was just sitting there. And all the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all of them had come and were terrified. They had never before seen such anger. And they had not seen the Lord exhibiting such a unique form. So even after Lord Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, everybody was terrified and they did not even step forward to tell him to sit down. So he had to help himself. He saw the empty throne. He said, nobody is inviting me to sit there, so I should invite myself. So then on his own accord, he went and sat on the throne. After all, the Supreme Lord is the real king of everyone and everything. But even after he sat down, his anger was not going down. He was roaring and roaring. What does a lion do when angry? Roars. The roar of a lion can be terrifying. How many of you have heard the roar of a lion? Real life, I mean. In the zoo. No, in real life, not Discovery Channel. There you can switch off if you get afraid, you can switch off the channel. In the zoo also you are protected. Yes? There was one devotee, one of our sannyasis, he's from Africa. So he was explaining about a certain tribe in Kenya called the Maasai. Kenya, in Kenya, Tanzania and those places. So they are a Kshatriya kind of tribe. So when a boy becomes a man, when he reaches a certain age, he has to prove himself by valor. He has to prove his courage in front of a lion. He has to kill a lion. Not an ordinary thing. So all these young boys who may be 15, 16 years of age, they will come with spears and they will track down a lion. And the lion will be lying down peacefully somewhere. And then all these will come around him. Then the lion looks up. He looks slowly, he will look, oh, who are these people? And then he will understand that they have come with spears, so they have come with a very aggressive intention. Lion lazily, he will yawn. He will look here, look there, look here. Meanwhile, these people, as young boys, started trembling. Yes? And then he understands, all right, these people want a fight, all right. Then very casually sitting there, sitting in one place, he will let out a loud, long roar. Just like when you blow a shank, conch shell. Sometimes some devotees, they blow it a long time, yes? So then this lion will look one way, sitting down casually, he will let out a long, real, deep, terrific roar. And of those 10, 15 boys, half of them will fall to the ground. That roar can be so frightening. That deep roar. And then the others who are still managing to stand, then they will get ready. Then the lion will rise. And then the battle will take place between them. Now this is an ordinary lion of this earth planet. Can you imagine the terror that must have been caused when Narasimhadev was roaring? And this lion initially was not even so angry. The anger will increase as the battle increases. So when Narasimhadev was roaring like that, like millions and millions of very strong lions, even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma did not come in the front. What to speak of Brahma and Shiva? Even Lakshmi Devi said, no, no, I have not married this gentleman. I have not. I don't know who is he. This is completely different person. I don't know who is he. Because she also had not seen such anger exhibited. Because in the house, normally she is the one who gets angry, isn't it? And he has to listen, isn't it? Those of you who are grihasthas, you know that. So in the house, who is the real leader, you know. So now Lakshmi Devi was seeing a new form of her own husband. Such anger and such a roar. The demigods were trembling. By this time, the asuras had been killed by Lord Narasimhadev. But now the demigods were trembling. And because nobody was coming forward, his anger was not diminishing. And he sat there and he kept on lifting his head in one direction, roaring. Lifting his head in the other direction, roaring. So demigods were terrified. When they were pushing each other, you go, this is not me, you. Nobody was willing to go. And Lakshmi Devi also refused. Then they said, what to do now? Then they saw Prahlad. Prahlad was standing in front of Lord Narasimhadev, not at all fearful. Even Brahma and Shiva were trembling, but Prahlad was not trembling at all. Because he understood, this is my worshipable Lord, he has come here to protect me. And he had been seeing him from before. Even when Hiranyakashipu had challenged Prahlad and said, Prahlad, where have you got this strength from that you are able to face even me? I am the most powerful person in the universe. Even the demigods tremble in front of me. And you have this courage to face me and to be disobedient to me? Where are you getting this strength to do this? And Prahlad very peacefully, humbly, smilingly replied, the same person who has given you strength to do all that you have done to conquer the universe has given me strength to face you, and that is Lord Vishnu. Then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. Vishnu, 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 I am tired of hearing this name Vishnu. Where is your Vishnu? Let me see how he will protect you now. So he took out his sword. And meanwhile, as Prahlad was talking to him, his eyes were on the pillar. Now when I am speaking, giving the lecture, you are looking at me. Now if I see somebody looking at the pillar all the time, I will think, is a pillar giving the lecture or I am giving the lecture? Isn't it? So if somebody is speaking to you, you will look at that person. But when Hiranyakashipu was speaking this, Prahlad was not looking at Hiranyakashipu. Where was he looking? He was looking at the pillar. Why was he looking at the pillar? The Lord had not appeared yet. He was still. So why was he looking at the pillar? Because the Lord was inside the pillar. He had not appeared outside the pillar yet. But only Prahlad could see that the Lord was inside the pillar. And he was reassuring Prahlad, I will come. Don't worry. Don't worry. So the Lord is always reassuring his devotees of protection. Don't worry. Be fearless. So genuine devotees will always be fearless. So when Prahlad saw this unique form of the Lord, he was struck with wonder. And with great devotion, he was gazing at the Lord's form inside the pillar. The Lord had blessed only Prahlad with the privilege to have that vision. Nobody else could see. Finally, Hiranyakashipu became very irritated. He said, I am talking to you and you are looking here? What are you looking at? When he asked Prahlad, where is your Vishnu? Let us see if he will come to protect you. Prahlad was still gazing at the pillar. He He said, my Lord is everywhere. He's everywhere. Then he saw Prahlad looking at the pillar. He said, is he here in this pillar? So Prahlad was smiling. He said, of course, he's here. He's in the pillar. Prahlad could actually see him. So it was not something theoretical for Prahlad. So then in great anger, Hiranyakashipu struck the pillar with his fist. He was very strong, Hiranyakashipu. And the pillar cracked. And when the pillar cracked, then Narsingdev appeared from inside the pillar. And he let out such a loud shriek that the sound penetrated the entire universe. And all the demigods and all the residents of the higher planets, it was like some big quake happened. Much more powerful than this Nepal earthquake. So the whole planets were trembling with that shriek, loud noise. And then he emerged from the pillar. The pillar was shattered. And as Narsingdev appeared, Hiranyakashipu was very tiny compared to him. Actually, Hiranyakashipu was very big. But in comparison to Narsingdev, he was very small. And Hiranyakashipu was looking, who is this person who has come? Who is he who has suddenly emerged from a pillar? He was trying to gauge him, trying to understand, who is this person? Is he Vishnu? And then as he was looking, then he thought, okay, so this is my enemy. So he jumped at him with his weapons to attack him. And then a great battle ensued between Lord Narasimhadev and Hiranyakashipu. They fought and fought and fought. But for Lord Narasimhadev, this was only some play. He was only having some fun. Just like sometimes the kings, they would keep wrestlers in their as their servants. And when he felt like doing some sporting, some wrestling competition, then he would engage them. So then as Narsingadev was fighting with him, sometimes he was catching Hiranyakashipu and releasing him. Where Hiranyakashipu became released from the grip of Narsimhadev, he felt, I am winning the battle. Just like a cat plays with a mouse, or sometimes a snake plays with a mongoose, and eventually, there is death. So similarly, the Lord was playing, and he was enjoying his Veer Rasa, the rasa of chivalry, the fighting spirit. So we also have the fighting spirit because the Lord has it. But that doesn't mean that we should go and fight with our family or with our friends or with the devotees. But the spirit is there. So then eventually it was getting to be sunset. And this was the time Lord Narasimhadev was waiting for. So then he lifted up Hiranyakashipu, placed him on his lap. He sat on the doorway of the house, of the palace, neither inside nor outside. The lap was neither the ground nor the sky. It was neither day nor night. He was neither animal nor human. And then he tore apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu with his nails, which were neither living nor dead, which was neither a weapon nor a hand. So he kept intact all of Brahma's boons, and still he killed Hiranyakashipu. This is the glory of the Supreme Lord. He is willing to do anything and everything for the protection of his devotee. One time somebody asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I get so angry sometimes. How do I control my anger? So Prabhupada replied, you think of Narasimhadev's anger and you will forget your anger. So meditate on Lord Narasimha in angry mood. Then your anger will go away. So we should pray to Lord Narasimhadev today on his appearance day to protect us. from all the anarthas and unwanted things, to protect our Krishna consciousness, to protect our spiritual life, our bhakti, so that we may become pure devotees, so that we may follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan ki jai, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. So now there will be arati to Lord Narasimha down in the temple. So we are all being requested to go for the arati ceremony. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Narasimha Chaturdashi Maha Mahotsava ki jai.
Hare Krishna, we request everybody to please proceed downstairs for the arati to Lord Shishri Lakshmi Narasimha Dev. Also, a reminder that tomorrow morning